Vibe higher, bitch. Vibe higher.
Welcome to Superficial Magic, the most magical place on the planet. I am your host, Megan Granger, and as always, we are joined by producer Crystal Chris.
Ooh, hey, Megan.
Hi, Crystal Chris. This is a very special day for Superficial Magic. Do you know why?
Why?
Because you're our guest.
Oh.
Hello.
I love it.
Yep. So Crystal Chris is the reason the podcast still exists in any way, shape, or form. And he's one of the wisest people I've ever met, though you don't really know it. Sometimes you're just spitting truth.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I'm honored to be here then as a guest.
Thank you. You do a lot of full moon rituals with us. You are basically the only boy in a house with some girls who really love this kind of stuff. You did some shadow work with us one night that was so powerful that you caused an earthquake.
For sure. Definitely. I think I caused an earthquake.
Okay. Hold on to that because that's what we're going to start with. Okay.
Okay.
So don't let me forget.
Earthquake.
Earthquake. Today's solar plexus day. It's solar plexus week. Please go follow us at Vibe Higher Bitch on Instagram. It's just solely dedicated to energy and wellness. Also, I want to give a shout out to Ariel, Colleen. Thank you so much for showing support. It means the world to me. Go to the Superficial Magic website, read the blogs. This week's is called How to Succeed Like a Sociopath.
Whoa.
Yeah, I put a lot of thought into it because, I mean, you don't have to look very far in our world to see that it's being run by sociopaths, for sure.
Yeah.
And I think it's one in every 20 person they're saying now is a sociopath. Wow. Maybe I made that up. It might be one in every 100. I don't know, but that's too many sociopaths.
That's a lot.
Yeah. They're everywhere. So, like, what are they doing that's actually helping? And how can we do it without, you know, fully being sociopaths? Do you hear what I'm...
Absolutely.
You're picking up what I'm putting down.
Yeah, you gotta channel some of that, whatever that is that allows them to just...
Right?
Sleep well.
Sleep well, live well, all of it.
Get
so,
to the top.
Yeah, superficialmagic.com, podcast. You can order a t-shirt, rate us 5 stars. You know the drill. All of that fun stuff. I love you guys so much. I can't wait for you to listen to this episode where we talk about the light within. Whee! It's solar plexus day. It's solar plexus day. You have all fire in your chart.
Fire, fire, fire.
Yeah. It's like three fires.
Yeah.
So the solar plexus is fire. It's the sun within, solar, obviously. It's located like right above your belly button, below, like diaphragm, kind of, you know? And it's that ball that like gets, okay, I have this memory of being so mad at this ex-boyfriend. We had planned a vacation and he was a bit of a drug dabbler, shall we say.
Dabbled in the drugs.
Yeah. We had this vacation planned forever and he did drugs the night before. And I'm not talking like marijuana or cocaine. I'm talking like a drug that you're going to be high on for a while.
It's called meth.
Thank you. Okay, so we're on the plane. And I remember my solar plexus. I literally was like, I should get off this plane because there's so much energy, angry, shooting out of it. I think it's going to like light something on fire.
Jesus, how do you release that?
I don't know. It hurt. It physically hurt. And yeah. I was just like, oh, fuck. And that's where I feel a lot of like, anger, frustration, whatever. Because it is. It's this fiery ball of kind of ego, to be honest. Mm-hmm. Because the solar plexus is all about like me. I exist. I'm me. And so it's easy to like spiritually bypass it and not kind of sink into what's good about it, which is that we're physically manifested. We're on Earth. We don't want to be just pure divine energy. Otherwise, why come here? It's about meeting Earth with divine.
Ooh. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that fire, we have to have it. Otherwise, you're just fucked.
You're just dead inside.
You're dead inside. And you know what? I've been thinking about it a lot lately because I was raised in a home that would always quote this Bible verse that was like, let your light so shine before men, something, something, something. And it was kind of saying that if you shine your light, the world will hate you. And, mm-hmm, and like Jesus shined. Jesus shined his light and he got murdered because people hated it. And that's kind of the lesson I was taught. Like, you have this light inside of you and you have to shine it on the world and the world's not going to like it. And this light, according to how I was raised, is like your modesty, your humbleness, your whatever. What I'm beginning to realize is that no one hates anyone because of their humbleness or their modesty or any of that shit. People hated Jesus and people hate people who are shining their actual light, your actual talents. Why the fuck are you here? What are you doing?
Yeah.
It can be scary to be around somebody like that.
Yeah.
Especially if your fire isn't existing. Like, shut the fuck up, dude. Yeah. Chill.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So it's been really interesting for me to realize that it's not bad to shine.
Wow.
Yeah. It's kind of the point.
This is just hitting you now in life.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's incredible how deep that shit goes.
I know.
From back in the day. I mean, it's pretty tragic that would have that kind of impact, because the most important thing that you could do is shine that light, live your purpose, and do it fucking loud.
Yeah. Like wearing something cool, you know? And I just wasn't taught that. And also, it's really scary to be that, because you do feel like people are going to attack you or not like you, or that you're going to hurt their feelings because they're not in that vibe at the time. And it's just like, that's when you gotta, my kindergarten teacher used to say a lot, Megan, worry about Megan.
Yeah.
Because Megan was worried about everybody else in that kindergarten class. So getting in touch with it is pretty fucking important. And, you know, before we come here, every seed has in it the potential to grow.
Mm-hmm.
And it wants to grow. And it should grow. It's good for it to bloom. It's good for it to bear fruit.
Yeah.
So that thing of us being the best version of ourselves is already put so deep inside of us that it's kind of happening on its own. We resist it. We think we don't deserve it. We just get stuck in a million stories. And yes, you have to. It's the environment. You have to be in the right environment. You have to be with the right people. You should be doing what you love. But it kind of moves itself in that direction.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
You know, you can't be in the light all of the time. Obviously, in the solar plexus, there's also room for the shadow and the version of you that you don't like, and bringing that version into the light and letting it exist and loving it.
This is good.
Yeah.
I like this.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah.
It has a lot to do with digestion, actually.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Like how you digest food is all based on the fire.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's some real shit. It's some real energetic shit.
Dude.
Yeah. I loved when we did the shadow hypnosis together.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yeah.
That was like the first day of quarantine.
Oh my God, it was.
And we laid down and we did this hypnosis, which was basically just exploring the shadow self. And the shadow is the part of ourselves that we don't want to look at. And it's the part of ourselves that we don't want to own, that we want to project onto other people. I guess if I were to think about my shadow, it would be I don't even know how to explain this without sounding like I'm in sixth grade, but like super basic. Does that make sense?
What do you mean basic?
Just like somebody who doesn't have their own thoughts, doesn't do their own thing, just wants to fit in, is like a follower. That kind of shit is, I find myself being like, ugh. But that's because that's in me.
Yeah.
So like you go down in this hypnosis to meet that part of you, and it's like sitting basically in a gutter waiting for you. And obviously my shadow self has way worse things than just like not thinking for itself. You know, we all have every aspect. And every single thing from murdering to hating is in our psyche. We have every single piece of the pie. So you go down and you meet that person that you've been denying in yourself, that you just can't stand. And you went and met yours.
Yeah.
And it was powerful.
So we were laying on the ground, and you started with the best version of yourself, right?
Yes.
Did you?
Yes, you did.
So yeah, you climb up this mountain, and this is beautiful, like it's like the top of the mountain is just like, it's glowing and it's so angelic. And then there's this little house, like a little hobbit house or something.
Oh, I forgot about all this part, but you're right.
And,
yeah.
And then you go inside and you meet like the best version of yourself. What does this person look like? What are they
wearing?
Do they smell? Their hair, their skin.
Just... Mine was so cool. Oh my God. She looked really cool. She had on a leather jacket.
Dang.
Yeah.
And then you go down, down, down into the, like the underground.
The sewer
to meet the worst possible version of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
If you just completely lost hope and gave yourself up, what would that look like?
Mm-hmm.
What would that person look like and smell like, and their hair and their skin and their eyes? And
yeah,
man, that version of myself sucked.
Really? But that's the opposite of the lesson. You're supposed to accept it.
Well, that's right. But initially, when you're looking at it, you're like, oh my God, that's...
Yeah, no.
Please, God, Please, no. Never let that happen.
And then you have the best version of yourself hug the worst version of yourself. And you combine the two because...
And then you bring them back up to...
Yeah.
To the top of the mountain, right?
Right. Because if you... are just that shiny person that you saw, cool.
Mm-hmm.
You are not interesting.
And you are not just that. You know, there's always going to be those two parts of us.
Exactly.
It's about acknowledging both sides.
Embrace it. Love it. Bring it back up to the light. Solar plexus, sun, light.
I think it was somewhere around going up the mountain in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
The earth started shaking.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, you were having a really, really powerful experience.
I was crying. My body was vibrating.
Yeah. And then we went to bed and you were laying in bed. And that's when there was an earthquake.
Yeah.
At like this moment that you thought something really powerful. And you were kind of tripped out about it.
Yeah.
It was a big one.
Yeah.
It jolted.
Pretty wild.
Thanks for that, Chris.
Yeah.
Okay, you recently have made huge strides in your mental health, your spiritual health, not your physical health, but you don't need to do anything apparently because you're super skinny and you don't work out and eat everything you want. But what do you think shifted?
Well, I definitely think something happened astrologically for me.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Talking with Scott.
The astrologer
from with mm-hmm. the transit who you've interviewed before.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, dude, you literally like died spiritually. The old self died and this is a new you. I mean, I was feeling it in my real life. I mean, I was like, went through a bad lull,
mm-hmm.
you know, it was like a 10-day lull. I was going to go to Berlin. I was going to go, I was going to do all over Germany and...
It was your first time leaving the country.
Yeah, got my passport and everything.
Yeah.
And then COVID hit.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And then I just like had like a mental breakdown. And I think that it's one of the worst things that ever happened to me, but it turned out to be one of the best because I had to make a choice. You know, it was like, do you live in this old self, this old world that you've just been a slave to? Or do you just say, fuck this shit. I'm going to do something totally new.
Mm-hmm.
So I was totally new. And the first thing that I needed to do was get rid of some anger.
Yeah.
Maybe learn how to control the anger and most importantly, figure out where it was coming from.
Yep.
And through really just a few amazing therapy sessions, I found that I was creating the scenarios that created so many triggers.
Whoa.
That created so many bad situations for me and other people that I could have prevented by just communicating properly, setting myself up for
success.
In the situation that I want to be in.
Yeah, I think that that's really cool and something that everybody can learn, because you learned it really, really quickly. And just putting some stuff in place, because we all have that situation that we're like, I can't stop doing this. And actually, you know, we read the book Existential Kink on the podcast. Some of it you're creating unconsciously on purpose, because you unconsciously think you enjoy it. Because your heightened emotions, you know,
yeah,
whatever. But just putting some simple stuff in place, like you have a really hard time ending conversations or like ending helping someone. So just putting some like safe holds in place, like I will be like, hey, I'm going to come get you at this time and say that you have to go, because otherwise you're going to not.
Well, yeah, it was about boundaries.
Yeah.
You know, setting up energetic time. What are the four boundaries?
Ooh, I would love to know, because I don't know them. And the solar plexus chakra is all about boundaries. Oh, wow. He just got out a little notebook. Is this your therapy notebook?
Therapy notebook.
Oh, wow. Four types of boundaries. Give it to us.
So, yeah, the four types of boundaries are energy, emotion, time, or value.
Wow.
So if somebody drains you energetically, you know, you have to set boundaries. Like maybe if they are super wild about politics, or they're super angry about, you know, the grocery store every time they go there, whatever it is. And that just drains you.
Yeah. It's awful.
If you're with your best friend and that's what they do, it's like, yo, I don't want to talk about that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Setting yourself up, because otherwise I would have just listened to it. And then at the end of the day, I would have just been, had no energy to do what I needed to do for myself. Emotional. Same thing. I felt like if it's like your mom and she always talks about your brother who's dead to you.
This is just an example.
Yeah.
Nothing that's going on in Chris's real life.
Yeah. It's just like, all right, mom, I can't hear about this person anymore because it makes me mad, or it makes me sad, or it makes me whatever it is. It's, you know, time.
Oh,
you got that friend who comes over and just takes 10 hours to do something that would normally take 20 minutes.
Uh-huh.
Hey, pal, I got 2 hours today.
Yep.
Are you available from 2 to 4?
Yeah, you should never enter into open-ended anything.
Yeah, I need hard boundaries. And that's good for creativity, too.
Yeah, that's true.
And for everything. If you only have 2 hours or 3 hours with someone, it's just like, it's more focused. It's more intentional.
Mm-hmm.
Value, the fourth one.
Oof.
And again, maybe some of these, you have that friend or that person in your life who they trigger like two or three or all of these.
Why are you looking at me so hard?
No, I'm just reading my notes from therapy. I mean, sometimes you have that friend who's like triggers two or three of these, and it's a matter of incorporating all that into one sentence.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Yeah. And what is value?
Value, if it's a client,
uh-huh.
Or someone that you collaborate with in some way and they don't credit you the right way, or they never want to pay what you're asking. It's a matter of not taking that client, just saying, look, this is what I charge. And
got it.
You
got
know, it's that's been a tough one for me, because money's always been like a tough conversation.
Mm-hmm. Would rather just not get paid.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's been probably the toughest one, because I think as a creative person, that's just side of your brain that isn't working, mm-hmm. at least for me.
Yeah, I mean, I think part of our lesson, if you are somebody who struggles with it, is learning how to do it. The things that you're bad at are actually what you need to learn from,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
So it's like a cool little opportunity to recognize your value. I'm reading this book right now and it says there's three schools of lessons that we need to learn in this life. And you might have all three, but everybody has a dominant one. It's the school of money, the school of love, and the school of health.
Damn.
Yeah. So I think we're definitely in the school of money.
Yeah.
You know?
After therapy with these boundaries, I've been incorporating it into my speech with clients, and it's helped so much.
Really?
Yeah, people just want to be told, you know, what the fuck is going on. Shoot it straight, like, what's happening?
Like, yeah, what do you want? And yeah, what can you do?
What's your role? Setting up your role. I mean, this was really good for the value stuff, the time stuff, emotion, the energetic. I mean, all in going into a project like, hey, this is what I want to do for you. Mm-hmm. I want it to look like this. I want to play this part. It's going to cost this much. It's going to take this much time. Do you still want
to
do it?
Just simple to the point.
Mm-hmm.
Love it.
You know, at the end of the day, everyone knows what's going on. There's no gray area. You're not finding anything out later.
Mm-hmm.
And
why is that so scary?
I think people are like afraid of rejection.
Oh my God. You're completely right. I love that your therapy journal is... It really looks like you're a serial killer. There's
writing
scribbles,
things at super speed.
Yeah, upside down writing. There's numbers just randomly put in. Okay. Okay.
Lots to go over.
Value's really, really hard for me. And mm-hmm. it is that, oh my God, do you remember when I took acid and my solar plexus shattered?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So last year, I'll tell you what happened. I sit down, get comfortable. I took acid and I went to my bedroom and laid down in my bed and was like, oh, I'm going to do a little meditation. And it was about drawing the energy up from the earth and into your feet and up, up, up. And it reached my solar plexus. And it was like somebody took a hammer and hit me and I was made of glass. I heard it. I felt it like hot water. It felt like splattered me on the face.
Oh my
and it
God.
Was all just energy. But it was I had frozen my solar plexus.
Oh my God.
Mm-hmm. And I was hoping that because of that, it would just automatically turn into the sun and start, you know, firing up. And it has definitely turned up the heat, but I am nowhere near. There should be a sun inside of you.
Yeah.
It should be just as powerful as the sun.
Fuck.
Yeah. So mine isn't quite there yet.
Yeah. More like a firefly.
Yeah. Yeah, but I'm working on it and hopefully it'll turn up.
Yeah.
I think it all comes back to purpose. We all have a purpose. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here. And I think a lot of times in life, it's easy to be like, okay, I fucked it up. Like my purpose came and went. I didn't find it. I don't know what the fuck it is, but whatever it is, it's ruined. And I'm just going to like daily life obsess and live in that state.
Turn
you
into
know?
A robot. Yeah.
Yeah. Turn into a robot. You're always just one thought away from it.
Mm.
You know, no matter what circumstance you're in, where you've ended up, how much you think you fucked up. Like I spent the probably most valuable 5 years of my life completely high on Ambien. I shouldn't say it's the most valuable because it's not. I haven't lived those years yet. I'm starting to.
Yeah.
But it would be really easy for me to be like, cool, I fucked it up.
Yeah.
But my purpose is always just a thought away.
Yeah, that's so powerful.
Right?
One thought would get you out of that loop.
And giving it some room. It's like pruning a garden, you know? Yeah. Give it some room to grow. Trust that another power besides yourself is working through it. And if you're absolutely not getting any traction, maybe you're on the wrong track.
Uh-huh.
You know, maybe let it go and see what happens. My dad's a fertility specialist, so he does like IVF and stuff like that. And it's really interesting. Like sometimes somebody will go through the whole process of IVF and still not get pregnant. And like, fuck it, we're going to adopt a baby or we're going to just not worry about it and then pregnant.
Damn.
Right?
Yeah. So you just release something and something just the energy just moves.
Yeah.
Just stuck.
Exactly. Exactly. Sometimes you can want something so badly that you hold it away from yourself because you have so much fear, resistance, whatever. And that's why Abraham Hicks, my favorite YouTube channel ever, you know, it says, don't think about the things that you're not getting because you have so much negative thoughts and resistance and bullshit built around it that you're going to have a lot more luck being like, oh my God, my cat is so cute, and just really milking positive things in little ways to get your mind like oiled up, like lubed up in happiness and like whatever. And then a thought will just come to you from actual inspiration or source regarding the topic that you've been stuck on.
Yeah.
Because you can't solve a problem with the same thinking that caused the problem.
Yeah.
So it's like a little self trick.
I love that.
Yeah.
Change your way of thinking.
Yeah.
One thought away.
You're one thought away, baby. Dude, Chris, you are one of my favorite people.
You too, Megan.
You're so wonderful. Thank you for being here. You are just killing it.
Thank you. You're killing it. You inspire me.
Oh, you inspire me.
We're just one thought away from something good.
I agree. Let's go fucking murder this day.
Let's go live our purpose.
All right, vibrators. Join the Facebook group if you want to. Superficial Magic Vibrators. Come and tell us what you're manifesting, what you're realizing, and we will talk to you next week. Love you.
Bye.
Bye. Vibe higher.